Andy and Anna here from your new favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two of the four hosts of the podcast that stuffs fascinating, amazing, weird, mad facts into your ears on a weekly basis. You got any good facts, Andy?
Yes, how about this one? Anteaters have evolved on 12 separate occasions.
Wow.
Mysterious. Wonderful.
The world really wants them to exist. What about this one? When Ronald Reagan left office, he left a note on the White House lawn for the squirrels, warning them to beware of George Bush's dogs.
So there you go. If you like fascinating facts and much more besides, we are No Such Thing as a Fish.
This episode of Let the Hate Flow Through You is brought to you by Jess Falstick.
Sunday, Sunday, Sunday! Get down to the Avenue Tap House in Lakewood, Ohio to catch Jess Falstick! Host a lineup of regional and national comedians guaranteed to make you giggle! No charge to get in for that seat, but you'll only need the edge!
That's Jess Falstick!
This is Nick Yurick, and you're listening to Let the Hate Flow Through You with Jeremy Shear and El Jordano Diablo.
Flow through you, your weekly dose of audible hatred. I'm Jeremy Shear,
El Jordano Diablo,
and this week, a Jew, a Jehovah's Witness, and a Catholic walk into a recording studio to spill some hatred. Joining us this week is accomplished road warrior, comedian, T.M. Francis.
Thanks. How are you guys doing this afternoon, evening?
We're fucking having the best week ever.
Yeah.
Best.
I don't believe either of you.
I wouldn't.
So, TM, accomplished road warrior, comedian, and guy that I open for.
I prefer road hack, if that's still a term going around. But
yeah,
I think it fits, actually.
Well.
Do you like roadhead? No, I like road hacks.
Yeah, we did a show last night in South Bend, Indiana, which was quite fun for Mr. Shear's birthday.
Yeah, it was the best birthday ever, and I got a hug from somebody that had almost as big a gap in their teeth as I do. It was a birthday. She wanted to get me a birthday shot. I politely informed her I don't drink, and she said, "Can I give you a birthday hug?" So I gave her a big old hug, and I took it seriously. And then she said, "I watched you bomb," and it was the best.
Well, in all fairness, she was, for lack of a better term, like a crackhead. So it's not as if she was doing exceptionally well at the moment either. So.
No, but it's no wonder she likes Shear either.
Well, she was very polite. She was trying to talk us up after the show, and she was trying to buy you a drink and perhaps comfort you in your sorrows.
Yeah, she was definitely trying to get a piece of the action, if you will, as was her companion.
And it was a weird show too. We opened for Jeff Foxworthy's opener. So it went from like
Bill Engvall?
No. Some guy. What was the guy's name? Nick Hoff.
Yeah, that was it.
Oh, I know that name.
Yeah, he was a very funny, very cool dude, but it was just like weird to watch the progression of like it went from Shear to me, and then like a dude who opens for Jeff Fox. So it was like there was like no rhyme
or
reason.
He works clean then, I would have supposed. Since
he was cleaner, yeah. I guess he could probably pass for club clean, but he wasn't. He wasn't unfunny though.
No, he was really good.
Yeah,
right on. Because Jeff Foxworthy isn't. So
I mean,
it just depends on what
he serves his place.
Yeah,
serves his place.
I like him much better than Bill Engvall or Larry the Cable Guy.
Ron White crosses them. He's actually funny.
Oh,
like
yeah,
that
he's
dude.
Fantastic.
He's actually a legit. I was actually bummed out. He was in Cleveland this past weekend, and I was like, "Fuck! I wish I would have known that. I would have went and seen him."
I didn't even know.
But
that,
also,
yeah.
Bert Kreischer was also in town. Like it was a big weekend for comedy. And the only reason I say that is because me and Shear had a show this past Saturday too.
We did.
Well, that's fantastic. How did your guys' show go?
Really well.
Yeah. Or are we here to bash Catholics?
We are. Let's get right into it. TM Francis, why do you hate Catholics?
Well, I hate Catholicism more so than... I was raised Catholic. I went to a Catholic grade school, like kindergarten through eighth grade.
Ooh.
And they force you to go to religion class, which I think is the mistake on their part. Because that was really the thing. Like, having to go to that every day was the thing that kind of started the wheels turning in
my
head.
So is that like a period? Like what you would consider a period of like... All right, so eighth period, I have religion class.
Yeah, oh yeah. It was every day. It was 45 minutes of...
God.
Religion class, reading. It was very boring and very, but it was also one of those things that would like force you to read the Bible.
Yeah.
And then for like reading that is what makes me go like, I'm pretty sure this has nothing to do with God. Right.
Right.
So then that, but then you still have to go to religion, you know, whatever time you come to that realization, you still have to go to religion class every day, unfortunately.
Yeah, I mean, I was raised Jehovah's Witness. I've probably mentioned on the podcast numerous times, but like, I mean, it's different now, I guess, but when I was a kid, we went Sundays, like Sunday mornings for 2 hours, Tuesdays for an hour, and then Thursdays for 2 hours in the evening, and that was Tuesdays as well in the evening. And then like on Saturdays, we had to get up and they go call it out in service, where they go knock on people's doors and shit.
Oh, wow.
And so it's like that was... And I mean, it's just, it's completely forced on you.
So you guys had a similar, like, weekly schedule of indoctrination and volunteer work?
Yeah, it just wasn't school-based. Like, it was, like, congregation-based, you know? Like, so it wasn't like, they don't, I mean, I don't know if they do now, but Jehovah's Witnesses, they don't have, like, a school where, like, you... Like, I'm sure they'd love to because they'd make more fucking money that way.
Yeah, well, for whatever reason, the Catholic Church always had their, they always had schools attached to their parishes, which, I mean, in hindsight, maybe it was for not so great reasons to begin with.
Shit.
But I was always thinking about that, too, as far as the molestation thing goes, because I think by the time the 90s rolled around, that wasn't happening so much, which is when I was in grade school. Because I remember trying to think of a scenario. Like, when any of us were ever alone with a priest or ever asked to be alone with a priest. And I was just like, I can't figure out. Like, it must have just been the altar boys, right?
Yeah.
Like, that had to have been how they got them.
Yeah, I mean, did you watch that that thing on Netflix, The Keepers?
No, I did not see that.
Dude, fucking watch that.
I was advised not to watch
it. No, I'll tell TM to watch it. I wouldn't tell you to watch it.
Is it depressing?
It's sad as fuck, dude.
And I would imagine.
Like, it all takes place in, like, the 60s and 70s, and it all relates around this one nun got murdered. And then these women started coming out down the line. Like this guy, he was the chaplain? Is that what they call it? The chaplain or whatever?
The chaplain's like a military priest, I think, or something like that.
It was for a school. Yeah, I mean, that's what they said in the thing. And it's just, dude, it is fucked up. Like, I can't go into the whole thing. It's 7 episodes, each one of them's an hour. But, like, considering the subject matter now, watch that.
Definitely worth watching something that'll make me hate the church slightly more.
It will hopefully skyrocket it even further, but I mean, it's super sad, but the reason people should watch it is because it gives those women a fucking voice that they didn't have. Because, like, I mean, it goes to, like, this whole thing when they came out later on in the early 90s, like, this one lady, she went under the guise of Jane Doe, and, like, dude, the fucking Archdiocese of Baltimore just... shut her the fuck down.
Oh yeah, they're very litigious, and not to the extent that maybe like something like Scientology is, but they've been an organization for so long that they've got old money, and they own more land in the world than anything too, so they almost have like unlimited resources.
Yeah.
And especially too, it's like, it's also a very casual following, like people who give money. Like my mom still donates money to the church because they send her an envelope every month to do so, and she gives like whatever, but she doesn't go to church and she doesn't believe in that shit. She still is a part of like keeping it afloat, which is something I never understood, like especially with the whole child molestation scandal. Because they have, if you found that, like I can't imagine another organization that would survive that. Like, even, like, an NFL team or something like that. Like, if the Dallas Cowboys were caught molesting children...
Right.
They wouldn't be a team anymore.
No, absolutely
not. You say that, but Penn State was basically caught molesting children and covering it up, and they're still a thing.
Actually, you know what? You're absolutely right about that. Maybe an NFL team is too. Maybe they generate, it's all about the money you generate.
Jerry Jones, much like the Catholic Church, has more money than God.
That is true. He's got a lot of that old league money too. I didn't think about that whole of the Penn State thing. You're right. They didn't give that that football program the death penalty, which it's like, that was another thing too, where you wonder, it's like, well, if you get rid of the program there, the whole argument was like, well, you're punishing the kids. It's like, yeah, but that was kind of the institutional problem of it. So how do you go back and correct something like that?
I mean, it's a problem that many large organizations face. I mean, you know, this the child molestation thing is not it's not just Catholics that have this problem. You know, there are allegations stemming from many other religious organizations, and like, there's widespread abuse of kids. But I think the Catholics lost a handle on keeping it in-house.
Yeah, that's a good way of putting it. And they certainly did try to keep it in-house, which is another thing that makes you look at them as just like a horrible, awful, scumbag organization. That instead of trying to root out the problem of priests that were abusing children, they just like shuffled them around.
Yeah.
And there's still priests that were like accused of things like back in the 60s and 70s, and then all of a sudden it's like, oh well, they're in a diocese in South America somewhere, yep. And it's like you just never hear from them again. Yep. It's like they put them in exile.
That's what happened.
And by the way, there's still pedophiles in South America. Yeah. They just have, nobody's keeping an eye on them, right, down there. So it's like, I mean, to have just someone like just shifting around the bad parts of your organization like that, I mean, it's really insane and infuriating. And that's one of the infuriating things about, like, when, like, my mom giving that envelope every month, like, that's something I bring up to her. I was like, doesn't, like, the kid fucking thing bother you
at
all?
Yeah, right. Because they covered it up. I mean, like, from, like, the Vatican down, they covered that shit up.
Yeah. And it's another thing, too. And my mom wasn't quite old enough where they were still, like, abusive just as, just as practice.
Like corporal punishment.
Yeah, yeah. But her older sisters were. I mean, her oldest sister was born in, like, the early 50s. In the 60s, they were still doing that shit.
Yeah.
It was, you know, like, rulers across the hands. She told me that they had a nun that used to make them kneel because they had to wear, like, the schoolgirl skirt, so
yeah,
their knees were exposed.
Yeah,
she made him kneel on uncooked rice in the corner. When it just like slowly digs into your knees.
Yeah.
Then, which I guess is a really painful thing.
Yeah,
I was like,
absolutely.
Well, that's a weird sort of sadistic sounding
punishment. Dude, like that's Opus Dei shit. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
that,
right.
Like,
it's
like,
weird. It's like, how did you even come up with this? But yeah, I remember her telling me that. She's like, she would make us go in the corner and kneel on uncooked rice. And I remember thinking like, oh, that can't hurt that much. And she was like, no, kneel on uncooked rice for like 20 minutes. It's pretty bad.
No,
it's
shit.
Just, it's like kneeling on gravel. And I was just like,
I just picture like when you, like the nun with the ruler, I just picture the nun from Blues Brothers who fucking beats the shit out of both of them.
Like slowly floating.
And that's,
and
that's hilarious because it's adults being abused in the movie. However, you know, they're slowly, word is getting out that, hey, guess what? Corporal punishment has the same long-term effects on children as, you know, stuff that is considered abuse. So,
well, it's certainly not good long-term. I mean, corporal punishment and things of that nature for kids, or I don't think so anyways.
No, it's, you know, besides the fact that, it, you know, if there's the old canard that that Catholics are a little freakier in the bedroom than their Protestant counterparts, and I think corporal punishment is part of the reason for that, because eventually you have to deal with pain by coming.
you may be right about that, because this was actually a different conversation we were having yesterday about girls who are into being choked during sex.
Yeah.
And the girl, the only girl who's ever, like, because we were talking about that and how, like, it makes you uncomfortable to actually be, like, choking
a
person
absolutely.
In theory if you're not a sociopath.
Absolutely.
So I was always just like, well, girls who like that, I find that really, if you just put the hand on the neck and rest it there, it's more of like a dominant position thing, and they're fine with that. But I did have a girl one time who was like, no, seriously, like, you need to choke me. And she was Catholic, so if that has anything to do with it. And also, I think every... And that would be more in my younger days, just from, like, high school and college, because from people you know. But I do remember a lot of those girls, they are into, like, spanking and things of, you know, bent over the knee and things of that nature, which is great, but...
yeah, that's fine.
I don't know if it's emotionally healthy, but...
No, but, I mean, like, I might have mentioned this before, I don't know, but, like, the last girl I was with for an extended period of time, like, she liked to be choked, and it's just not... I don't have that in me.
Yeah.
Like, I just, like... I don't want to hurt you. I mean, like this.
And also, there's that fear of like, what if I do? Like, because how are you going to, like, who's going to not believe that you're just an asshole?
And
you know what I mean?
Exactly. And I mean, like, with all the shit going on in the world, I can understand that belief.
Yeah.
But it's like, I mean, like, so I'd do it for her because I mean, like, I loved her. I was in love with that girl. And so I would do it. And it's like, I don't mind spanking at all. Like, that doesn't bother me. But like, fucking choking, so like, your life, their life is literally in your hands.
Yeah.
And like, the one time, dude, so I'm like, I was on top of her, and she was like, I'm like, all right, fine. So I put my hand there, and I lost balance with my other hand and fucking throat chopped her. And I've never, like, it sounded like the fucking Exorcist, dude. Like, the noise that came out of her, and she queefed at the same time, which I thought was kind of funny.
Oh, but you pushed all the air out of her.
Literally. And it was just like, I felt so bad. And, like, after she was done heaving, like, she was, like, laughing about it. And I'm like, that's not funny. Like,
that's one of those, like, sex sent me to the ER stories. Yeah, that's so funny.
Right,
she accidentally takes a brutal karate chop. And I was just
like, I'm not doing this anymore. Dude, I'm not Bruce Lee, man.
First of all, the fact that you, like, inadvertently karate chopped her and she queefed at the same time is absolutely hilarious. That
it is.
It was just,
it
like,
is.
Like, all the air everywhere in her body was just, like...
I expelled all the air out of her body, just not a demon.
The Exorcist chop.
Or is it the Sexorcist?
The Sexorcist chop. El Hordano's new finisher.
I
sex
like that.
Chop. That's when you take a karate chop so hard that it makes you queef. I heard someone say one time, which was a phrase that always stuck out in my head because I thought it was funny, is he threw a punch so hard it'll knock your dick stiff. But I think that the female version would be like, he threw a punch so hard it made me queef.
Yeah.
Man. Jeremy's like, keep talking, guys.
I like where this is going.
Yeah.
I mean, Catholicism ultimately is going to lead to queefing, I guess, right? That's the whole...
Isn't that their whole...
I feel like it
their
makes
gimmick?
Sense, doesn't it? Yeah,
didn't
right?
a bunch of pre... Didn't they have, like, a big gay sex orgy at the Vatican recently, or was that fake news?
I don't know. I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, God only knows what happens in, like, the bowels and the back rooms of the Vatican, what kind of weird... Because Catholicism has always had that thing of, like... You're pretty sure the upper officials are, you know, going into rooms and just, like, greasing each other up and doing, like, weird, like, animal sacrifice and, like, that type of shit.
Like Satanist, like, you know, type shit.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, the weird, like, all that, say, all that.
But we're the bad people. The Satanists are the fucking bad people.
Yep.
And we don't actually even kill anybody.
Yeah, all that backroom voodoo stuff. And just even some of the psychological aspects of it, like, communion... When I was a kid, you were you had the choice of, like, you either go up to the priest and, like, they put it in your hand like a normal person, or you could go up and, like, stick your tongue out and he would put his dirty child diddling finger on your tongue like while he's giving you the wafer. And that some people did that, but it was especially, like, older people that did that, because my aunt was like, when she was a kid, that was the only option. You had to stick your tongue out and the priest would put it on there like that. And my aunt said they used to tell her that if you accidentally bit into the wafer, that it would start to bleed because it was the body of Christ.
Oh,
so
whatever.
You, like, had to let it dissolve on your tongue. My aunt believed this until she was, like, probably 8 or 9 years, like, until whatever point logic was strong
enough in her
brain where
in.
She was like, you know.
I mean, dude, I think we should start, I mean, just, like, to lighten the load a little bit, I think we should start calling them priest diddle kids, priest giving you the wafer.
The old wafer.
That's a slang term I think I could get behind. That's a good one.
Weren't you telling me the other day, was it Protestants or... You said they're, like, which Church of England or Scotland, like, one of them's, like, actually fairly liberal?
They're both kind of liberal when they came over to the United States. Episcopalians and Presbyterians are starting to get more lenient towards their treatment of the homosexual community.
Well, good for them.
Yes.
They probably just want more money. It's probably all money-based. I mean, well, all religion is money-based.
They might just be trying to pick up the scraps of membership where the Catholics have sent them away, because the church was not very good to homosexuals. Well, still not.
Yeah.
Although in the last 20 years, I feel like they've started to try and...
Well, didn't the new pope say that, like, he didn't condone the marriages, but he condoned, like...
Yeah, he's the most liberal of the popes that have been around so far, but he's still, like... And when people make that argument, it's like, oh, well, they're, like, looking at... Like, I look at the church as a thing that can't be, like, saved.
No,
it's like,
no,
when
no.
You talk, like, they're not... They're
if there's a hell, the Catholic Church is on their fucking way,
like,
dude.
Like, all the shit that they've done and all the... Like, there's no stopping the wheels of that... Like, it's not, I don't think it has, it's beyond the point of being redeemed, I think.
No, I agree. Dude, once you fuck a kid, there's no coming back from that.
Well, yeah, and that's why when people are like, oh, well, isn't it great that, because I'll hear, like, some Catholic people say that, like, oh, well, it's great the Pope is, like, oh, softening up on his stance. It's like, oh, the church is softening up on their stance on gays.
I mean, dude, on top of the fact that, like, okay, this Pope's the liberal one, well, the last one was a fucking Nazi.
That
so, like, eat my dick, okay?
That's technically true.
I don't care if he was, like... If you're associated with the Hitler Youth, I don't care if you're fucking innocent. Fuck you, dude.
Yeah, and it's almost like saying, like, oh, you know, your 104-year-old racist neighbor? Oh, he doesn't hate gays as much as he did 40 years ago. And it's like, well, who cares? It's not, that doesn't matter.
No, and
he's
guess
not...
what? He probably does because it's just festered for that long.
He just can't remember to hate as much as he used to. But it's like, yeah, it doesn't, the church to me isn't anything that's ever going to be like, oh, well, they're okay now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
so
they can't come back.
Like, oh, they're making progress.
There's always
going to
be an asterisk or a black mark on it, you know. Where does the Jew stand on this?
Okay. Here's the thing about is it redeemable? I come from a mixed religion family, as some of you know. And it basically, you know, when my parents got married, as my father, the Jew... marrying my mother, who was raised Protestant, it created quite the stir amongst both families, as on my mother's side, we had relatives in the Klan.
Really?
Yeah. I was told it was a political thing.
Well, I mean, that I guess that's one of the aspects of it.
They were in West Virginia, so...
West Virginia is an awful state. I can't say that enough whenever anybody brings it up, but I just want to
Shear has become
time.
Recent in defending West Virginia.
Because he had a good show there, yeah. So all of a sudden if you have a good show in a state, Shear's like, ah, they're not so bad.
Yeah, they paid me and they laughed at my jokes, so.
Shear's like, oh, West Virginia, the fact that there's shanty towns and mountains that you can't even get cell service in, it's fine.
The best thing that came out of West Virginia was not Jesco White, it's Nick fucking Yurick. That's the best thing to come out of West Virginia.
Well, you know, Jeremy.
I find that hard to argue. John Wellington also came out of West Virginia.
Oh, I do love John Wellington,
yeah, that's right.
Too.
I forgot about that.
I love John Wellington, too. I've just known Yurick longer, I guess, so.
It's hard not to love John Wellington, because he's got... I have this the effect to a lesser degree that, like, my face is somewhat innocent, so then when I say something fucked up for the first time, like, audiences are generally like, oh, John has that effect, like, a million times more.
I watched John do a set at the last Sad Boy show at Brothers Lounge, and I hadn't seen him in a while, and I was like, I was fucking, he did 15 minutes, I was howling fucking laughing,
because
I forgot how dark he is, like,
oh,
he's
yeah.
super fucking dark.
Yeah, he did, he had the one time he headlined the Youngstown contest a few years ago, and I remember during his set, I think he talked for like 15 minutes about like a rape van that he was like working on, it was just so funny, but it is, if you don't know what to expect from him, it is like, it catches you off guard at first,
well,
but it's because of the way he looks, you know?
Well, and he's got that, well, I love his, like, opener joke. Well, the last two times I've seen him do comedy, like his opener, like mid-set joke, he says, you know, my nickname in high school was Beef Wellington, and he was like, you know what that is? It's a delicious. It's a, what does he say? It's a cut of steak,
prime choice cut of steak, wrapped in a flaky pastry dough. So I'm delicious, and they can eat me.
I also it's forgot. So good. I love when he does that voice too.
I'm a boy. When he tells the jokes about being looking like a lesbian. Yeah. Oh, it's so good.
Yeah, he is so funny. Is he Catholic by or?
No.
Do they have Catholics in West Virginia?
Yeah,
I figure
that was
that's more
question.
Of like a. I think that's more of like a. I associate it with Baptist, but I'm so like I was raised Jehovah's Witness, so I'm like so far removed like from realizing how every religion works. That's like when we were having that conversation the other night. It was actually pretty interesting because I was learning shit that I didn't know. Because like as a whole, like after I busted out of like the Jehovah's Witness thing,
I just busted out. Yeah. Oh yeah, was that it? Was that a big point of contention for you and your family?
It is. It is and it isn't. My family, like they're Jehovah's Witnesses. I'm using my air quotes again. On a podcast, they are, but like my family is just like so fucked up that like they and I love them all. I'm not saying that, but it's like. Their views are very skewed and like my family's very double standard, I guess would be a good way to put it.
Okay.
And like, so yes, it's a point of contention, but like, I so don't fucking care that like either they can accept it or not. It doesn't matter to me.
Yeah. That's great. Cause what you having that attitude takes a lot of the power out of their hands anyway. Right. So then like, it's just
cause like, I just don't give a shit. Like, I'm not going to argue religion with you. There's no point to do it. You guys believe what you believe. I believe what I believe. But, like, when I busted out of that whole thing, I just, like, from that point on, I just lumped in all religion as, like, it's all fucking stupid.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of basically feel that way.
And I know you're not as far into that as I am, because I know you do see points of it, Sheer, that are good. But, like, I'm just, like, after being raised that way, and I'm not going to sit here and just trash them, you know what I mean? But, like, I do. I think it's fucking stupid and pointless. I mean... George Carlin said it the best, and he goes, it ends up being a place for people to get together on Sunday to compare clothing.
Yeah.
And that's just what it is to me.
And I also, much like you, Jeremy, my mother, when she did get married...
She was also in the Klan.
She had never gotten around to marrying the fella that had knocked her up with me, which was probably a good call on her part, but when she did finally get married, it was to a very nice Jewish fella who she's still married to. But that, as Jeremy said, it wasn't as big a point of contention as it sounds like yours was. But yeah, it was still pretty fun. Like, the Catholic, my mom's Catholic, allegedly good Christian Catholic family, they were not crazy about the idea of my mom marrying a Jewish guy. And they were very open about, like, being dicks about it for a while. And then, of course, they get to know him, and now everything is fine. But it's like, that beginning part, like, that to me, that's still even fucked up. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's just...
That was the point I was trying to make is change happens on a small scale because eventually, despite the big problem with it that everybody had at the beginning of their relationship and marriage, by the time I was born, 4 years after they were married, everybody had kind of gotten over their shit and seen like, oh, like this is actually a good thing that's happening. And, you know.
Well, I feel like once you bring kids into it, it's kind of like, all right, you accept, like, these are your grandchildren, like, what's
important
to you?
Oh, well, I mean, my mom never had kids with him. She doesn't want to go to hell, but, you know. but, you know.
She was worried that her vagina could not to accommodate the horns on the way out.
That just reminds me of the fucking old, not the Borat movie, but the fucking Borat sketches from the Ali G show.
I just watched that movie the other day, speaking of stuff that was randomly on Netflix. Yeah, I mean, it
got beat to death.
It is what it is. Yeah, it's pretty shockingly funny the first time you see it. And if you don't watch it for long enough, some of that shock comes back a little bit.
I was talking about that because I probably watched Borat 5 years ago, 5 or 6 years ago, and I was like, oh, this is still kind of funny. But it's like the same, it suffers from like that Napoleon Dynamite like thing.
Yeah.
Where it's like, it was really funny when it came out, everybody beat it to death. So it's like, when I occasionally go back and watch Napoleon, I'm like, oh, this kind of holds up. This is still original enough and funny.
Yeah, that's kind of how I feel about Super Troopers. I remember, I think I laughed like the hardest I've ever laughed the first time I saw that movie when it came out.
I was
like 15.
Yeah.
But then it gained such a cult following after that. Because then, as an adult, like, or an older adult watching it, it was just like, why did I think this was so fucking funny when I was a kid? Like, it's almost one of those things where, I don't know, I also feel that way when I listen to 311, where I'm like, why was I so into this at one point in my life? Like, I don't get it anymore.
I'm going to blame the drugs on 311.
It was probably that, yeah, I guess. But it's got to be an age thing, too, because I smoke as much, if not more, weed now than I did then, and I was still, yeah, I was a pretty big 311 fan in high school.
The only credit I can really give 311 is the fact that they beat the shit out of Scott Stapp a couple years ago. Like, that...
Did they really?
Yeah, I guess... I love this story, because I guess, like, he was playing a show in the same town they were. They were all at the hotel bar afterwards. I guess Scott Stapp
Creed versus 311.
No, it wasn't Creed. It was Scott Stapp. Like, oh, it was, Scott. Yeah.
Does he still get to do the Creed songs?
I'm sure
he does.
Is
he like Roger Waters, except for a shitty band?
Yeah, I was going to say Roger Waters, but not good at all. Even though Roger Waters is also an asshole, but at least he's an artist.
Roger Waters is an asshole, but that live show that he does is fucking amazing. I saw it like 10 years ago before I knew he was an anti-Semite.
I forgot about that,
too. Yeah, he's... He's a pretty big anti-Semite. Yeah.
David Gilmore wouldn't be, though. I love David Gilmore. But yeah. that thing, what was I saying about... Fuck. Oh, 311. So they're all at the hotel bar, and I guess Scott Stapp is just, like, a mess. This is probably, I don't know, within the last 5 years.
He's one of those guys that, like, dips in and out of, like, sobriety or just being out of his mind fucked up, right?
Yeah, like, and then, like, not that I'm a big fan of Linkin Park, but that guy had to die. And Scott Stapp still lives. Thanks, Jesus. But, like... All right, so I guess they're, like, at the hotel bar, whatever, whatever. Scott Stapp starts hitting on, like, one of their wives and then another one of their wives. And he doesn't realize what's going on, that, like, 311 is, like, he's hitting on their wives.
I met 311 one time at, like, a backstage thing, with the exception of SA, who, their DJ. Those dudes are all, like, 6'7". Like, those are big motherfuckers. Yeah, I wouldn't mess with any of those guys.
Well, apparently they gave him a warning. And he told them, like, go fuck yourselves. So they dragged him out in the parking lot of the hotel and beat the shit out of him.
Did they really?
Yeah, and I was like, good on you, dude.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah,
good for them.
It's like, you know, it's like in a, like a 10 years later story after fucking Jack White walked into that bar and beat the shit out of the dude from the Von Bondies.
Oh, that's so
funny.
You remember
that? Yeah. Like, that guy's face was so funny. I was like, Jack White's probably smaller than me, and I'm not fucking with that dude.
God bless 311. That's so funny that the band that wrote Who's Got the Herb tuned up the guy who led the Christian band in the parking lot.
Who got higher.
Yeah. Can you take me higher? Tim Danko's favorite band, by the way.
I'm aware.
Unironically.
Paul Wolfe fucking will defend. He's like, Creed's got riffs, dude.
Does Paul Wolfe like Creed?
He defends Creed. I don't know if he likes Creed, but like, there's certain times where me and him talk about music. He's like, you don't like that? I'm like, no, that's bullshit.
Everybody has that.
I don't know if I could defend, but it also, I think I was one of the last people to realize that Creed was a Christian band, because that first song they came out with it was like, What If, or that was the first one I knew of anyway.
I'm 6 feet from the edge.
I think I knew it by then, but it took me a while before I was like, wait, are they a Christian band? Because I remember saying it out loud and the people I was in the room with looking at me like, yeah, are you a fucking idiot? Like,
dude. What I respect about it is they're a Christian band with a fucking alcoholic drug addict singer. Like, that's amazing. Like,
yeah, and I doubt Scott Stapp is a I highly doubt
money.
The band came. Yeah,
money.
He seems like it was like the Cartman when he started a Christian band on that episode of South Park. Like, the money was the thought from the beginning, right? Like, wouldn't you just? I mean, because they sounded like every other '90s like.
Bullshit.
Kind of alternative
Radio rock,
grunge,
yeah.
Just like, yeah, that post, like, you know, because they
post
came out
Pearl
right
Jam,
after, like,
Pearl
Jam and Soundgarden and all that shit.
So yeah, we turn that around on Christianity. Fuck Creed, fuck Catholicism,
and Scott Stapp. And maybe I do like 311 again now that I think about it. I saw one of the electronic billboards for the they're playing at the Roxino, and I was just like, this must be like what, you know, older people like driving by there when they see like acts they
like,
used to
like
when
shit,
they were a
man.
Kid. They're at the Roxino, like when my grandmother drives by and she's like, Chubby Checkers at the Roxino. It's just like, now the bands I used to like are starting to get up in there. It's depressing.
Yeah. I can't wait till Pennywise is there.
Pennywise, Bad Religion, and No Effects. At the
Roxino. At the Roxino? I'd see that.
I'd go. I mean, I'd go.
I've heard that room is not the greatest in the world. The concert one or the other
I've seen the setup of it, and I'm like, that looks like it'd be an awful place to see a show.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, I've heard some not
and
so
like,
because
I was supposed to go see Ace Frehley there, the only cool member of Kiss. And like, I was supposed to, and my dad like sent me pictures of it, and I was like, that looks awful. Like, I'd rather see him at the House of Blues, like, which isn't even a great venue, but like, at least you're like...
They're in there.
Yeah, and it's like a big open room, I guess. And I'm just like, this is lame, dude.
Yeah, my boss saw the what are the name of those dudes? Anthony has a bit about them. The Discovery Channel guys.
Modern
the Mythbusters. Yeah, she saw they have a live show, yeah, I guess, where
everybody
they go out
has
and about
a fucking live show now.
But she was like, oh no, the show is great, but that's a really bad room for live.
Yeah, the Impractical Jokers did a show there too.
Did they really? Yeah. What do they do for their live show?
They tell stories and then they show little videos and stuff. Like they'll dig up stuff from when they were younger and like Murray will do something stupid and they'll just make fun of him for
See,
it.
See, that's such a sweet spot for them because it's all their fans showing up and it's none of the pressure of bombing is not even a possibility.
I'm a big fan of Tell Him Steve Dave, which Q is on. It's a podcast he's been doing longer than he's been doing Impractical Jokers. And I was already a built-in fan, and that got me into the show. I like those guys. They all seem really funny.
Oh yeah,
cool
I love
dudes.
That show. It's a very funny
it
show.
Is. Even with how popular they've gotten,
yeah.
It's cool that they can still kind of pull shit off, and I like it. Well, that's completely besides the point.
Those guys are probably Christians or something. Catholicism, I guess we're more specifically
it's funny,
talking
they're,
about.
They're, the one guy I think is kind of religious, but they're all guys from Staten Island, so
yeah, I can't imagine. Because really, how many people do you know that really are religious? Because that's one of the things that bothers me about it is Catholics in general. A lot of them have a very casual relationship where if you press them about it, they don't really believe in it. Yeah. But church
it's
is
indoctrinated.
Oh, it's the community because they think of it as a nice holiday season and Christmas carols and giving to the poor and all that bullshit. But then all the bad stuff, it doesn't even, they have some kind of outer membrane where it doesn't get to them and it doesn't bother them.
Give
and I've never understood that.
Give your salvation, give your money to the Salvation Army, the people who fucking work against gays and fucking it's brilliant. Holidays are great too. We need to have somebody come on and talk about holidays.
All right. I will put that on the list. I'm sure I can find someone who hates holidays.
Except for Halloween. Halloween's fine. And Thanksgiving's fine, too, but that's because I'm fat.
Halloween's for fat people, too.
I am dressing up as Bam Bam Bigelow this year, so...
That's going to be a great costume. Do you have to get a...
I have to get it made. I have a friend who's a seamstress, and she's going to do it. But, yeah, I'm going to get the flame thing.
Because I was
going to
say,
up.
Yeah, what would be the thing? And the only thing I could think of is, those Always Sunny, the Green Man suits.
Yeah,
I was
do
they make a black flame one that you could just, get without
a
hand or something?
All I have to do is just buy, the poly... Is it polyester? It's whatever, elastic. I don't know whatever the fuck it is, but I just have to buy that. And she's like, no, I can sew on the flames for you. And
that's going to be awesome, then.
I can't wait.
The artistic part of it. I inadvertently ordered the WWE Network when I was drunk 6 or 8 months
ago.
Good
for you.
But I still have it.
Good for you.
And I've been watching old random shit from the 90s when I actually watch wrestling. And I actually watched the other day, it was an ECW pay-per-view from 97. And the main event was Shane Douglas and Bam Bam Bigelow. And Bam Bam Bigelow, he was a bad motherfucker.
I woke up, Shear slept at my house, what was it, Friday night or Saturday night?
Saturday night.
Saturday night. I woke up the next morning, and my TV's still on, and I was like, because normally I make him watch wrestling because I'm fucking hammered, so I show him new stuff that I know he'll like. I'll show him that stuff, and then I'm finally ready to black out and go to bed. I wake up the next morning, and I had seen he had watched at least one ECW pay-per-view.
It's hard. Those 90s, I was just watching last week, I was just watching, Raws from, late 97, because I was, I was trying to remember, how did the New Age Outlaws get over? Because I remember they just started coming out, and it's like, oh, yeah, I remember when they hit the Headbangers in the head with the boombox and, all this shit
they
got
they over when they fucking ran Cactus Jack and Chainsaw
Charlie. In the dumpster
Charlie,
off
that's
the
when
thing.
They got over.
Yeah, they were, but it was, such a cool thing to watch, because it was, I remember this, them slowly building momentum, and then all of a sudden it was, oh, they were in South Park shirts. Those dudes are awesome, because I was also, the perfect age for that.
We're close in age.
I was born in 85.
88, so we're close. Shear, do you... I have a trivia question for you. Do you remember where Billy Gunn came from and where Road Dogg came from, their respective gimmicks before they were put together?
Billy Gunn was first in a tag team called the Smoking Guns. With
Ding.
And weren't they attractive?
They were.
They had a 12-month calendar based off those.
Didn't Butterbean knock
dudes.
Out Bart Gunn a few years later?
He knocked the fuck out of Bart Gunn in WrestleMania in one of the dumbest...
That gimmick.
4 months earlier, they had a worked match on a pay-per-view with Butterbean and Mark Merrill. Butterbean, like, in interviews after, was like, that. I was willing to work the match. They told me to box them. I was like, oh, all right.
So.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I'm not done with Billy Gunn, no, though.
I apologize for that.
No. So, Billy Gunn gets out of the smoking guns and becomes Rockabilly.
Oh, I forgot about that.
With the Honky Tonk Man.
With
yeah.
the Honky Tonk Man. He's the Honky Tonk Man's new protege, Rockabilly, which went over about as well as you could expect. Now enter Jesse James, who enters into the conversation as the roadie, Jeff Jarrett's little sidekick. Then Jeff Jarrett releases a country song called With My Baby Tonight. Now, in an attempt to break the roadie away from Jeff Jarrett, it comes out that the roadie actually sang that song, With My Baby Tonight, and becomes the real Double J. And
I love that you know this.
And then they somehow threw Rockabilly and the real Double J together, and it worked better than anything else they had done before.
It was literally Road Dogg coming out. They were supposed to wrestle each other, and he just walked out with a mic and said something along the lines of, like what, we both have terrible gimmicks. Do you want to just try and be a tag team and, like, fuck the Honky Tonk
and
Man?
And they could both
and
work.
And then Billy Gunn was like, okay.
And Jeff Jarrett went to WCW, and Bart Gunn got knocked out by Butterbean. And
yeah, Bart Gunn, that was a bad, I don't know why they, because it was literally, it was only a couple months earlier.
And the only reason they did that is because they had brought Mike Tyson in, and, like, they were trying to, like, rev up the boxing thing.
That was right around the same, God, that Brawl for All, that was tough to watch.
That's what I'm talking about. The Brawl for All was so bad, dude. Because I remember going, wow, we're talking way too much about wrestling, I think, but.
We are. So.
Are there any Catholic wrestlers?
Is the McMahon family Catholic?
I remember Friar Ferguson. They have to be. They're McMahon. Irish from New York. They're probably Catholic.
They have to be, right?
I would think so.
Because, I mean, she's in the Trump. Is she still, did she get fired too yet? From the Trump administration?
I have no idea.
Linda? Oh, is Linda still holding down her job? She has to be, right? Because it's not a particularly scrutinized.
No.
That was another thing I thought was funny when the Warriors were like, no, fuck that, we're not going to the White House, but then they totally accepted their WWF title belts. It's like, you know, that's basically like accepting a gift from the Trump administration, right? Like,
I like to think that, like, Triple H and Stephanie are probably, like, fiscally Republican, but, like, woke.
But at least socially liberal.
Yeah,
they would, like, have to be, because they're young enough.
They're young enough, and Triple H seems like a.
Are you going to really think that the guy that pitched and executed the rape of a corpse,
and also essentially the rape of his wife, because he drugged her to marry her?
He did. Well, that at the time, let's be fair, that was a planned, that only was made to appear to look like rape, which is like something that they did that in that one, there was a Jennifer Aniston movie like 10 years ago where she gets raped in a scene at the beginning, but then you find out later that her and the rapist were in on it, and it was only, I don't even remember the name of the shitty movie, but it was like the same thing.
Yeah, I've never
where
heard
it's
of
like
that one.
You find out later, it's like, oh, she was in on it the whole time, so it wasn't really. He didn't really drug her and marry
Jesus
her against
Christ.
Her will.
Who wrote that?
Although they do make you think that for, what, like 2 months or however long that went on for?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was ridiculous. But
that was in the Vince Russo days.
So the one good thing Catholics have created is fucked up shit. There's a lot of good art that has come out of the abuse that is inherent in being in a system like that. Because how else?
That was impressive.
Thank you.
That was as accidental as her queef when she was karate chopped.
Yeah, I started saying some positive things about the church, and the Satan just poured out of me in that moment.
Your body, the Judaism in your body was trying to shut it down, and it reacted violently.
Yeah, remember the Holocaust, stupid. Oh, yeah, but
wasn't
no.
Hitler a Catholic?
No, he was not a Catholic. He was some sort of weird pagan.
No, but wasn't, because I remember reading in high school that he was like, the what he was doing was condoned by the Catholic Church. Like, they gave him money.
Oh, I mean, that wouldn't surprise me. But I don't know if I don't think Germany was one of the countries that the church got to. Like, they got a stranglehold around like Ireland, and I don't know if German was one of them though. I'm sure he was at a Christian point, of some kind. But
at one point, it was a part of the Holy Roman Empire. So I mean, it is
Germany
it,
was.
Yeah.
Okay.
It was all over Europe, dude. So it was just what it was.
That's like the Crusade shit, right?
It's in that same time period. Okay. So.
He was some sort of Christian, though.
No, he was. Oh, he definitely was.
Well, he moved. He moved past that into some weird, like Norse mythology.
Yeah, that's true too.
Which is
allegedly, and depending on how much History Channel you believe, possibly Satanism and aliens and zombies. And I've heard Hitler was into all kinds of things. And
Hitler needs to stop taking my cool shit. Hitler's like the fucking counterculture hipster, dude.
It's disappointing when you find out he was into interesting shit.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. I don't like that. Like.
Oh, you like dogs, yeah. I was very into dogs.
I'm going to make Werewolf Woman.
He was very into dogs.
I like how everybody's Hitler impression, inevitably, and nobody, I don't think anybody's ever, like, consciously, like, said we should all do this, but everyone gives it, like, a little bit of a feminine affectation at the end.
Absolutely.
Like, oh, do you like dogs? Like, almost, like, he's just like, oh, Hitler,
Hitler.
You scamp. Everybody does that though.
It's true.
For whatever reason,
it's either that or it's like, oh, it's Deutsch and you're hitting the fucking table.
Yeah, well, it depends on if you're doing angry Hitler or subtle Hitler. It's like, you know how like Popeye has two voices? There's like the, and then there's like, oh, wow. Yeah. Like it depends on which Popeye you're imitating.
I think if nothing else from this episode, we can say that we have compared Hitler to Popeye successfully.
They do have, yes.
Probably well, never been done before.
Stark demeanors between the two of them, I would say. Although I don't know what Hitler's spinach would be, really.
Jew blood?
Jew blood? Hatred? I don't know.
The blood of the innocent.
No, it can't be hatred, because that's what we call this podcast, and I do not want to be associated with that fucker at all.
Yeah, but I feel like you guys are doing hatred in sort of a positive way, or at least hating on negative things, or at least that's how I perceive
it's,
the church. But
it's therapy is what it is. It's therapy for everybody.
Have you guys talked about the church before? Because Sheer was just like, "What do you? This is a last second thing. I'm making a rare podcast. I would like to be promoted as making a rare and unusual podcast appearance.
This is his first podcast appearance since Circle of Hate.
You know what? That is true, and I just didn't want any, I don't know if I'm still contractually obligated to them, so I didn't want any legal wranglings have to go on. You know how litigious Andy and John can be, so.
Circle of Hate sounds like it'd be like a Pennywise Circle Pit song. Like, all right, guys, we're going to do Circle of Hate now, and then fuck authority, and then we're going to close with Bro Him.
You know what? It does sound like that, actually, now that I think about it. I can't remember. I'm pretty sure Andy named that. But yeah, that was my old shitty podcast.
Yeah,
I don't think anybody listening to that.
I was going to say, I'm not trying to dog that. I'm trying to dog
Pennywise. No, please do. By all means. That's fine. I don't have anything good to say about the Circle of Hate. Do you, Jeremy?
I enjoy doing it with you guys, but that's
because we would all sit and get fucked up in a room. Except for Dan.
Yeah, it was. Well, and John.
Oh, yeah, that's right. John was also a non-drinker, non-smoker. I forgot about that.
Yeah, John Hoffner. Rest in peace, John.
Rest in peace, John.
He's not really dead, but his comedy career and social media presence is.
Mm, what happened to him? I miss him.
I don't know, man. He was some sort of weird Christian at some point.
Yeah, well, he was homeschooled, but yeah, I don't remember what kind of denomination he was. Some sort of.
All right, so the people that honestly freak me out, like to kind of try and bring it back even more, like the people that freak me out the most are like the non-denominational people.
It's weird.
Like the speaking in tongues, fucking like megachurch shit. That scares me, dude. Isn't that non-denominational? Am I saying that right?
Yeah, the mega churches are mostly non-denominational Christian churches. They're not all of them are gigantic like that, but yeah, any of the ones that, like, you know, if you're driving through somewhere random and you can see them from the fucking highway and it looks like a mall, then yeah, that's like non-denominational Christian. Those are just started up by, like, dudes who are just like, you know...
Unfortunately, I'm going to say this, are smart enough to be like, oh, I can make a fuck ton of money this way.
Oh, yeah. There's a huge one of them up in, it's either Twinsburg or Solon. It's run by this this Scottish fella, actually. And, like, you hear him randomly on AM radio and stuff like that. But it's just, like, a gigantic church. And I was dating this girl, and she would convince me to come to a service with her. I was like, all right, fine, but I'm only going to shit on this. And so we did a service, and then we went out, and she was like, see, it's not, like, Catholic. It's not, and it wasn't as bad as a mass. But I was like, yeah, but that's not the point. I was like, there was a TV screen. We're in a room, a facility that had to have cost $2 million to build. Like, there was a gigantic television screen. Like, all the best technology. Like, everything was just, like, decked out.
It's
I was
like that speaking in tongues shit. Those are, like, to me, those are the people I find most are, like, the most hateful. Like, you can't be gay. You can't be fucking trans. You can't be no abortion. Nothing. Like, those are the people I find to be, like, super against that shit.
Well, yeah, and because they could also go in there, because since they don't get, like, because non-denominational, they don't really get into necessarily, like, a specific set of anything. It's just like, oh, we're all good Christians here, right? And then they, like, smile and go home and do whatever fucked up shit that they're doing at home. But, like, it's like a non, it's almost like a non-committed, non-judgmental type of Christian thing, but everybody there has money.
Yeah.
Because it's in, like, Twinsburg and Solon, so they somehow gather everybody from these areas. Well,
Church on the Rise. There's, like, that one. Like, it's... I did work in there because my uncle used to go there, and when he needed money. Because they will give you fucking money if you need it.
Well, that's nice of them.
But we were doing, like... I worked for my uncle, so we did, like, flooring work in there. And, like, they had a separate building that was, like, the youth center... That was, like, had a stage in it with, like, fucking 2 full basketball courts. And I'm like, this is fucked up.
Yeah.
Like, maybe I should turn Christian again. Like, maybe heel turn.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, exactly. I'm going to do a run-in on, do a run-in for Jesus.
Run-in for Christ.
I like how you're like, this book is stupid, but they have basketball, guys.
No, mostly it's the money thing. Like, that's really what
Dude,
it would be.
You say that, but, like, that's the silly shit that keeps a lot of people in the church. Or you'll hear things like, oh, well, they've got good schools, and, you know, so we want to,
Or you know what it really is? It's the, okay, we'll throw the kids at the fucking youth center on Friday, we'll all go have a key party so everybody has fun.
Yeah, exactly.
And, like, the priest gets to fuck everybody, like, prima nocta kind of thing.
Well, and then that's the other thing about, like, the way that, like, a lot of, when I say, like, the casual Catholic thing, like, my mom got knocked up when she was, like, 16. Like, find me a Catholic that paid attention to that premarital sex rule. Like, they don't pay attention to the rules either, but they still give money to the church, but they also don't put stock into what it's said. Like, it's almost like, I don't understand why you need the church to have, like, a sense of community with other people, you know what I mean?
Well, and the whole thing is, like, okay, like, oh, we throw so much money at the church, right? So, like, by Christian standards, which I don't believe in at all, but, like, is that what saves you is fucking money? Like, is that what you
think? Well, I mean, a long time ago, they really did used to do, like, in the 15, in the Dark Ages, the churches used to sell, they were called primary indulgences.
Primary indulgences.
Yeah, and the Pope would literally, like, for, I don't know, whatever a payment would be at that, probably, like, a giant chest full of gold or something like that, he would literally, like, write an excuse for, like, kings that were like, oh, yeah, show this to God when you die, and, like, you'll be fine. It's like a get-out-of-hell free card, and they bought into this shit, and they would give stuff to the church for in exchange for that. It's fucking, I mean, it's crazy.
I already started a church.
Sad I did. Boys?
No.
What?
No,
that's a wrestling club, sorry.
No, it's, there's a whole bunch of shit that I've done in my past that we shouldn't get into, but yes, I had a church. I was ordained under my own religion, so...
Do you have tax-exempt status?
We actually applied for it, and I got mail for it.
Wow.
So, yeah, I did all that shit. It's, like, it's dumb.
How big of a church do you have to be able to get tax-exempt status?
I'd say at least, like, 500 people.
Yeah, but you're just guessing. You don't know. You're just like, I would say at least 500 people.
I think I could get 500 people to get, like, behind my bullshit. Be like, look, everybody's going to get tax breaks. This is going to be fucking cool. We're all going to get drunk on the weekends.
Now, would you want, like, a 500-person church of loosely loyal followers, or would you want a Charlie Manson it and just get, like, 10 hardcore followers?
Because
that might be the
Manson
way to go, yeah.
Because, like, dude, if I could have people go do my biddings, you know, like, the people I want the shit kicked out of, but I don't want to go to jail for it.
Like Scott Stapp.
Yeah, Scott Stapp. comedians from Cleveland. Like, you know, I mean, a lot of different people. I would rather have like 10 loyal followers. Like, we will do whatever you say and never say you told us to do it.
Yeah, because
like,
you could get more things done that way. And then there's also no like peripheral evil, like no accidental like, oh, sorry, didn't mean
I mean,
to get
dude,
you.
I look a lot like a fat Anton LaVey. A lot of people listen to that dude, and they were mostly celebrities too.
Yeah, that is true. He was quite popular.
Guys, you're figuring out the appeal of the Catholic Church. No, seriously. I mean, it was a massive power grab by a few guys that figured out that if you get people to follow you and under this strict set of guidelines, then you can get away with whatever the fuck you want while you've got these people out doing your bidding.
Absolutely.
Isn't that like Illuminati type shit?
And their coffers are, well, they've got like a walled in city in Italy, which basically my main problem with the Catholic Church is that it's Italians. Go fuck yourself. Peninsula European trash. I want nothing to do with your I want nothing to do with your shit.
I've never heard the phrase Peninsula European trash, but...
Who were we talking about the night you said that initially?
Greeks, I believe.
Oh my god, I have like every... Because I did, my grade school was like all Italian kids and me, and so like every like Sicilian kid I went to grade school with, god, I wish I had European Peninsula trash in my repertoire back then, because that was a defense... I mean, everybody got along, but it was like I didn't get a lot of shit for being the only Irish
They're
kid.
They're pets.
With, yeah.
They're pets.
Pets.
Pets, dude. That's it from now on.
They're pets.
Oh, shit.
Goddamn Italians.
Let's pause here, because I don't think we're going to top that. We have a lot to cover.
We do.
First of all, thank you very much, Pete Milk at Milky Way Recordings, for letting us do this here each and every week, with one exception. It's Homie for Homies here. We love Pete. Also, shout out to Sam Holmes, who did our logo. That's going to be on a t-shirt soon. You can find her on the Instagrams, at Sam Holmes. It's Holmes like you live in, not Holmes like you hang with. We are going to have t-shirts. They are available for pre-order. You can PayPal us $15 if you are local to the Cleveland/Akron/Kent area. TheHateFlow@gmail.com. We will get you a shirt if you are outside the Northeast Ohio area. It is $20, which includes shipping. Again, you can PayPal that to thehateflow@gmail.com.
And just make sure you include your size.
Yeah, that is important, because otherwise I'm giving you a small. No size, you're getting a small, and you're going to wear it, and you're going to send me a picture of your fat belly hanging out. Because you're too much of a dumbass to include your size.
I like how you're assuming that they're fat, but it's like, no, fucker, if you don't put a size, it's your fault. You get a small.
No, you don't understand. Like, the Sad Boy shirts, like, XLs are gone. So, those were the first ones gone.
Speaking of which, little plug for that, too. There's new Sad Boy shirts coming out. I love the original. I don't have one, but these ones are better.
Yeah. Those are coming out soon. You can see the Sad Boys Social Club this coming Tuesday at the Funny Stop. That is Tuesday, August 15th. Doors at 7, show at 8. It is only $5 to get in. You can give that money to Sarah, and she will make sure you are having a good time. And coming up very soon, that'll be September 9th, is a Saturday night.
Saturday, September 9th.
Kalamazoo, Michigan.
Shakespeare's lower level.
Jordan and I will be doing a live 2-hour recording of Let the Hate Flow Through You.
It'll end up being 2 episodes, but yeah.
Yes, it's going to be 2 episodes. One of those episodes, we're going to be joined by guest Brennan Shane, a Kalamazoo comedian that I had the pleasure of working with in Toledo. And then following our little 2-hour deal, the Sad Boys Social Club will be making their Michigan debut, doing our usual show mix
the
of
best of
sketches and videos, full cast.
Devin Newsom will be there running tech.
Yeah. Victoria Mansberg will be our guest comedian. She is also a Kalamazoo native, and our guest actor will be Jason Ault, also a Kalamazoo comedian. So I'm really looking forward to this show. It's only $5 to get in. I know there are a lot of you Michigan cats listening.
Please come.
Yeah.
We would love to hang out and drink beers. Well, I'll drink beers with you. Cheryl'll get high with you.
Maybe.
Well, as long as it's not anything but weed.
Not during the show.
No, definitely not. But
after the show in the parking lot, like a gentleman.
Without a doubt. Like a true American.
That is what I do. Disclaimer, we are not advocating for the use of breaking your silly little laws, so get off my shit.
And it's medicinal in Michigan, so it's fine.
I have a diagnosis that I could get medical marijuana, and I plan on doing that while we are up there.
Fuck yeah. So. All right, so there's that. We will have shirts, and there is currently a poster being made for the show that is going to be fucking incredible that we will be charging $8 to $10 for. We're not sure yet. Probably it'll be a sliding scale. But they're like, get them because they're going to go. They're fucking sweet.
Yeah, they might, people might want to really pick them up before we leave. They're that good.
Yeah. I mean, it's going to say Kalamazoo, it's going to be for the show, but like the art on it is fucking amazing. And I will say this, at least it features Satan.
There's a lot of Satan in it.
Yeah.
Which, of course, there is. If you haven't gotten that message yet, get that message now. We love the devil.
We have sponsors.
We have sponsors to get to. This episode and every episode, thanks to the Patreon, are sponsored by Chad Weaver, who is at Weaver Chad on the Twitters. He has a monthly show at the Rialto Theater in Kenmore called Thriller Be Thrilled. He also is with Pizza Money, another Cleveland area sketch group that puts together a wonderful show in the basement of May Halls, usually on the first Sunday of the month. So follow him, find more of that. Chris Clem of the C4 Pod, Chris Clem's Cavs Cast, also Chicago area improviser. You can find him at Chris_Clem. Because Chris with no underscore Clem was already taken.
Or at C4 Pod.
You have options. Then, of course, there's Britt Fox, who was our guest on episode 10. You can find her on Snapchat or Instagram at XFoxRocks. And we've got some stuff to plug for her.
You'll be hearing that at the beginning of this episode.
Yeah, more than likely.
You've heard that at the beginning of this episode.
Yeah. You're breaking the fourth wall here, Joe.
You hate when I do that.
Yeah, I do. I hate for you. You're not Deadpool. Shut the fuck up.
I'm Dreadpool.
Yeah, you're Fatpool.
I'm Breadpool.
Yeah. Yeastpool is more like it.
I'm a walking yeast infection.
Yeah. You have the world record for most yeast infection blotches under your tits.
Also, Jess Falstick, by the way.
At Epic Fall on the Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. You can see her each and every Sunday at the Avenue Tap House hosting that showcase, which is currently being run by Mr. Spider Jones, who is our guest at the Sad Boys Social Club show at the Funny Stop on August 15th. So it all comes full circle.
A pentagram right in the middle of it. Yeah. Or a star.
We love our bravas. And of course.
We do love our bravas.
Of course, we can't forget Plight of the Stripper Herder. It's plightofthestripperherder.blogspot.com. It is one man's chronicle of his experience working inside the strip club industry for many, many years and the ups and downs that come with it. So give it a read. It's a fun one. And there's a lot of it.
Everything?
That is. We got through all of it.
Okay.
TM, thank you so much for coming
thank
in.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, gentlemen, for having me. Can I plug my website very quickly?
Oh, you do actually plug everything.
It's tmfrancis.com, my website. It is a shitty website that looks like it was made by an idiot in the 1990s because it was homemade by me. But it does have my dates up there and a link to my Twitter, which I'm generally funny on, And yeah, it's got my dates up there. And I believe August the 18th is a date I'm doing a show with Sheer again.
Yep, we're going to be doing a private gig.
It's in, well, it's not so much private, but it is in Millersburg, Ohio.
Yeah.
Is it a Catholic church?
I don't believe so. You know what? I think it's like a, like a fish fry like type thing, whatever it is.
And it's not during Lent, so.
It may or may not be a horrifyingly horrible gig, but it is up there on my website with all my other gigs. Sheer will be there for that.
Were you at on Twitter? I don't think I follow you.
TM underscore Francis. All right.
The underscore. The goddamn underscore.
You know there's a fucking Asian motivational speaker named TM Francis? I swear to God, and that's the only other TM Francis
in the
world.
Dude, that's like McGregor and fucking Mayweather. You guys got to fight.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a weird one. Dwayne Duke actually pointed that out to me, but that guy exists. He's still out there.
Heart.
Yeah. I think we got to have him on the show at some point.
You should absolutely have Dwayne Duke.
Who, Dwayne Duke or the other TM Francis?
The other TM Francis.
I was like, we've had Dwayne Duke.
We should track down this other TM Francis realistically.
And beat the shit out of him.
With our minions. Oh, and 311.
And 311. Jordan, I don't think we're going to find anybody that hates Catholicism as much as TM Francis.
No.
I hate it.
There is another. The world dies again. I'm a rapid offender. You can see right through my skin. I don't care about making mistakes. I keep saying no and falling on my face. Feed me numbing ages. Drag me to the ring. Another discharge vapor. Daniel's in drunkenness. I keep a bruise in my brain. Hands under the punches.
This episode of Let the Hate Flow Through You is brought to you by Chris Clem.
Sir Jeremy Shear, can you ponder me a query?
Yeah.
Do you love your brother?
I love my brother. Do you love your brother?
I do love my brother. How much do you love your brother?
I love my brother Chris Clem so much it hurts my heart.
I love my brother so much, I listen to his podcast, the C4 podcast, Chris Clem's Cavs Cast.
Ooh, that's crackers good, mate. It's the best sports ball podcast on the whole Lousy Weather Media Network.
I heard he just gives himself the old Leapin' Lanny the whole time.
Oh, yeah, Chris Clem definitely has the reach for the old Leapin' Lanny, mate.
Do you know who Chris Clem's favorite wrestler is?
Who's Chris Clem's favorite wrestler, mate?
The Undertaker, the Dead Man.
The Dead Man.
I have no idea what the fuck you guys are talking about.
That's Chris Clem!
This has been a Lousy Weather Media Network production. Find new episodes and archives at lousyweathermedia.com.
Andy and Anna here from your new favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two of the four hosts of the podcast that stuffs fascinating, amazing, weird, mad facts into your ears on a weekly basis. You got any good facts, Andy?
Yes, how about this one? Anteaters have evolved on 12 separate occasions.
Wow.
Mysterious. Wonderful.
The world really wants them to exist. What about this one? When Ronald Reagan left office, he left a note on the White House lawn for the squirrels, warning them to beware of George Bush's dogs.
So there you go. If you like fascinating facts and much more besides, we are No Such Thing as a Fish.